Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Parental Guidance Advised with Monty and Allie.
Parental Guidance Advised. If you're not advising your children and you're not guiding them, then who is, right?
Exactly.
I'm Frank.
I'm Ernest.
We're back. Yeah. Happy holidays to you. After the holidays, we trust yours were as good as ours.
Mm-hmm.
Super glad they're over, though. I'm ready to move on.
Yes. I'm ready for sleep. I'm ready for water.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. One of our topics is going to be binge drinking.
Mocktails are your friend.
Yeah, mocktails. There's a new phenomenon. There's a new culture emerging in the earth called the sober ones, sober living.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, you've got Kim Kardashian leading the pack along with J-Lo and others who are clearly very in love with their health and their figures.
Kate Beckinsale's another one.
Well, yeah, and they're all amazingly,
She's 46.
Yeah, she does not look a day over 25.
Not at all.
So there's something to be said for taking care of your temple, right? Okay, well, there's also something to be said for taking care of your temple with great sex. So we're going to talk about an article that I discovered in Psychology Today, February 2020. Pick it up. Like, go buy it. Okay, especially for those of you who are extremely frustrated in your relationships. And I'm telling you now, 9 out of 10 of you are. You just are. Those are the stats. There's no sense in, listen, my personal podcast, which is on Monday through Friday, right now I'm going through like the first 10 days of the year with you about things that we would like to see evolve in our lives. And we're doing it together. And it can be exactly this topic. It could be finances. It could be your weight loss. It could be whatever. And being resolute about something. So if you are not satisfied, you're not fulfilled. Okay, satisfaction is like one of those terms that can get turned sideways sometimes.
How so?
Well, because people are like, well, what do you mean? Well, I deserve to be happy. Okay, and people leave like, kids and families and, what about my happiness?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we're not always happy. Happy. And yes, God wants us to be happy. Okay, I do believe that, but it's like, damn, you're not going to be happy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Absolutely not.
Right. Okay. So satisfaction is important, but it can be one of those trigger words where people go, oh, so you have to be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can,
people
can turn that on you.
They can.
All right. So what I want to lead you with, is fulfillment.
Fair.
Fulfilling. Okay. So if your sexual relationship is not fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Your sex life is not fulfilling because sex can, notice I didn't say should, but because I don't like to should on people, all right?
This is a new catchphrase.
But sex can, and it is designed to be fulfilling. It is there to fulfill this base need, this very primal need of connection and acceptance and exploration and, and fire and
I think that
passion.
Word...
Yeah. What?
Fire and passion and, yeah.
Why does that make you laugh?
It's just the way that you said it. You were very serious, but
I am very serious.
This is a serious topic, but I think the word fulfillment, too, leaves room for the times when things may not be satisfying or something goes wrong or you don't have time or whatever. It just it leaves more room for the imperfection of it all than satisfaction.
Agreed. Yeah. Right.
Which is fair because it's not always going to be satisfying. You're not always even going to have time to have sex during the week. Like it's not always going to be great.
Okay, stop. Stop it.
Nope.
See, that's
triggered
your that's your generation.
I'm not saying
I'm like
it's
you
a
don't,
personal
you
belief.
Don't find time for sex. You make it.
Okay.
you make it it's part of your connection with your loved one. And so you make it. You make time. You prioritize what's important to you. When people tell me, I looked at someone that I've been dating recently and I said, he goes, well, I'm sorry, but I didn't have time. And I was like, see, something you need to know about me as a new person in my life.
You were triggered.
That does not fly with me, because I know myself and I know people, and that we make time for what we prioritize. And so if you tell me more than twice or three times that you just didn't have time, by reason of deduction in my heart and my mind, I am going to resolve to believe that I am simply not a priority.
Which is fair. And a lot of people don't prioritize sex, but I think the point is why.
Yes.
Where it's like a lot of people, it's a mental thing where they're just not thinking about it. I mean, so many of us are on antidepressants, and that's one of the biggest side
that's
effects.
One of them.
And a lot of men are on antidepressants. A lot of men are stressed. There's a lot that goes on mentally. So it's like, if you're not thinking about it, clearly you're not going to prioritize it.
Okay. Right. Okay. And then what you're thinking about it is important. Okay.
Yeah.
So I love this. You know, Mr. P always reminds me, show me your schedule and I will show you your priorities.
There you go.
So if you don't prioritize your sex life, and there are a number of reasons why we don't do that, and mainly I'm going to let everyone off the hook right now for just a moment. I think one of the main reasons is because, A, you can tap into part A of what you just said, which people are heavily medicated these days on a number of things, whether it's busyness, actual meds, pharmaceuticals,
pornography,
a lot of things. Right. No sleep, whatever. Friends and golf and hobbies and kids.
Yeah.
Can we just stop right there?
You have a lock on your bedroom for a reason.
Hello. Okay. And so, people ask, is it okay to make an appointment for sex?
Yes. And it doesn't have to take all the romance out of it.
Right.
If you have that kind of life, then yeah, sometimes you're going to need to schedule that time, but then make the time fun.
Yes.
I was with someone who was like, absolutely not. I could never. And so we didn't
have sex. Like schedule it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because no one prioritized it.
I prioritized it, but they were just like, it sucks all the romance out of it and it does all of this kind of stuff. And honestly, I think it was more so about the pressure. I think that they felt some sort of
pressure.
It's kind of
like people trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, come on, I'm ovulating.
Yeah. And they're like, but I'm not in the mood.
Right. And I have had friends go through that. And the husband's finally like, okay, look, I am not like your baby making machine. Okay. I'm not the sperm donor here. It's sperm on demand. You know? And it's like, yeah. And it does for them. It's like, okay. You know, I'm like, man, when you're single, you guys are all about being the sperm donor on demand. Like, you're just, you know, young, dumb, and blah, 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 blah. We'll just leave that right there.
I don't even want to know what you're going to say.
Glad you don't know. But most older men who are listening to this know exactly what I was about to say. Okay. And you guys just can't wait, you know, because it's that primal instinct to like spread your seed. And then all of a sudden when you're married and your wife's like, come on, let's spread some seed. You're like, I have yard work to do, or I've got a beer to pop, or there's a game on.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm not just a machine. And it's like,
well, actually.
Aren't you, though?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But
you're good,
like,
for a few things.
Okay, I'm glad you went there, because here's where we're going to go. You ready? Okay, according to Psychology Today, this is my favorite quote out of this entire piece. And it is crucial that you guys go get this. Even the little dude holding, like, the chick by, you know, the little Flintstone-looking character on the cover of this article, he is in, like, a Flintstone getup, and he has moobs.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah.
We're about to get to that. Okay. Speaking of everybody's medicated on something. Okay. Here's the greatest quote of the entire article. Quote, gender equality does not imply gender equivalence, at least not in the bedroom. The title of this article is called The End of Sex. Can we be woke about sexuality and still enjoy our powerful primal instincts? I want to put kind of a full stop on this whole woke culture for just a moment. A lot of you white folks use this woke term completely wrong. I'm just telling you, it is wrong. To be woke is like to be pissed off about something, really is what it is. It its base nature, it's kind of a play, and you're a narrative studies major, so you get this. It's a play on words. It's like, oh, I've awakened. That's what they want you to believe, that you've reached this new level of revelatory knowledge nirvana, right? Where, oh, I have ascended into the clouds of revelation on any given subject matter, whether it's race relations, it's sex, sexuality, it's your kids. I'm woke. This is the woke culture. But if you study it at its fundamental base narrative level, what it is a constant rub against whatever the normatives are. And so you can't really, to be woke about something is it's like, A, it's very arrogant because it's like you've arrived. Like there's no other revelation to be had because you're woke about something. And again, I see it largely in the conversation around race relations. That weird, you know, so this pastor's woke and that post. You have an entire Christian movement on the woke generation. Like all of a sudden, the gospel wasn't good enough for the past 2,000 years. So we've had to become woke to something that Jesus apparently missed. I don't know. But to me, it's humanism at it's secularism, it's humanistic. So for me, it's like, that's part of why we are in this conversation with regard to this article, the end of sex. Can we be, quote, and they have it in quotations, woke about sexuality and still enjoy our powerful primal instincts? And I'm telling you guys, when you get to the conclusion of this piece, my ultimate takeaway is that we can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're saying is you can't be politically correct in the bedroom.
Correct. What has that cost us?
Yes, and what it's cost us to them is passion in the bedroom. It's cost us actual love making.
Right.
And
that's why I said fire and passion, and you laughed.
Well, and?
Maybe it's because I'm your mom. You're like, okay, don't really want to see that.
You know, there comes times.
Okay, well, you're my daughter, and I don't really want to think about you and your sex life. How about that?
Yeah, well.
But it is a normal, natural part of life. And we just had this conversation with your little boyfriend last night. Poor kid's like shaking in his skinny jeans.
Far away from me last night during the whole conversation.
We're in the living room because this is just how our family rolls. How you hear us on these airwaves is exactly how we are at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to be in our living room and you get caught up in the tidal wave of our conversation,
you got to jump in. You're not allowed to sit there and not say anything.
It's an undertow.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I said that. I was like, you better speak up, homie, because this is your time. And if you're going to be part of this family, you need to chime in. And I'm like, you can't be afraid of my daughter because she's a strong one. She's a strong personality, and if you sit over there trembling in your skinny jeans, it's not going to work out for you in the end. I'm telling you.
He was wearing sweatpants,
whatever.
First of all.
You got to step up. You have got to speak up, because there's a way to do it. I get it. And I know it can be. I'm kind of like the Dr. Ruth of our family, though. I'm not going to lie, because I'm not embarrassed to talk about these things. You know why? Because I see people literally dying inside and physically
and in relationships,
emotionally, they're dead.
Yeah.
They're dead, and they're having, according to this article, which is exactly what I see, they're having extramarital affairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're addicted to pornography. Matter of fact, I'm going to quote from this. It says, What we are failing to recognize is that thrilling primal sex in a trusting, respectful relationship requires the same elements we vilify in men today. We teach men to contain their sexual interest, resist assertive overtures, and hide their sexual longing. How confusing it must be for a man to develop a sensitive, responsive, polite sexual style only to be ultimately told by the woman he marries that he is a boring and uninteresting lover.
Hmm.
So,
well,
you were raised in this generation,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to tell you, remember when you used to call me from college? It's catcalling. They got workers all over the campus, and I'm so tired. If they catcalling me one more time, you had the whole chicken net working, like your hands on your hips. You were pissed that somebody would catcall to you. And what was my response?
One day they're not going to do it.
One day you're going to be 80 years old, your boobs are going to be down on your knees, your butt too, and no one's going to care that you're walking down the street. And so just enjoy it while you can. It doesn't detract from your worth unless someone's like, what?
I don't enjoy it now.
Okay. Listen, and we all know that men can be totally nasty about stuff. But, and that's a totally different story. Like, you just can't continue to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's what this whole article is about.
Which I think is fair. And I think, you know, the biggest point, really what I took away from this article and what I think they were very much so skirting around trying to say is that good sex really can only happen in relationships. When you think about it. Because you have that level of trust, you have that level of respect, you have the love for the other person, the commitment.
Yeah.
So when you are,
Hookup culture is not.
It can't be fulfilling in that way because there's always a level of trepidation on either side whenever someone's trying to be assertive and aggressive. When someone's trying to give in to their primal nature, as they call it, in sex, and you don't have that level of trust and respect, knowing that that other person respects you, how are you supposed to do that as a man or a woman? So it makes sense as to why men would constantly be checking in or why women would constantly be feeling violated if the men are not checking in. So if you're outside of that relationship, good luck.
That's why I preach. How funny is this? Right now on my phone, it says sex dust. Literally, a notification pops up in my email. Sex dust can make you harder for longer for, you know, order it today.
Who are you getting emails from?
Well, all kinds of people, girl. All kinds of advertisements. I don't know. But it literally, I was looking at my tweets to be able to read some of these to these guys, and it just literally pops up as an advertisement. Sex dust. It's on everything. It doesn't matter what I mean, for instance, I look at Psych Today. I type in Psych Today sex. Next thing you know, I'm going to get a sex advertisement.
Well,
that's how the algorithms work.
Yes.
But my point is, it's like longer, stronger, harder. My own radio station is, oh my God.
You're right. I've heard the commercials.
Holy crap. I'm like, man, do you guys feel emasculated every time you tune in?
Erectile dysfunction is so prevalent, though.
Well, okay. So there's a number of reasons. And I believe that sex starts in the mind. Sex starts in the mind. Okay. So if we have spent the past generation dumbing men down into these little boxes of, no, we want you to really wear a skirt, we want you to be our best friend. Dressing men up in dresses, right? Like they're our little Barbie dolls. It's the woman that wants it both ways that ends up on my couch or other counselors' couches talking about, oh, I just got the most amazing text from this long, strong, awesome-looking black dude, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Well,
if you can't say, I'll say amen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, so it sounds like you're living in a little bit of a fantasy world. And I get that, but you kind of have to ask yourself why.
Well, people, I think, are also uncomfortable to talk to each other about sex. It's really hard to talk to your partner about your partner's body or about what they're not doing or what they are doing. It's one thing for me to talk about my own body and my own body failing me in different ways, but to try to address your partner and be like, I kind of wish this was different. That's really uncomfortable, especially in my generation. People don't do
you're
that.
You're going to have to give me an example.
Well, I don't know. It's if you want something from your partner that maybe they're not giving you.
Okay.
And
because they physically can't?
Yes, for reasons unknown.
Okay.
And then you try to talk to them about that. That's super uncomfortable. And also, that doesn't happen in my generation.
Are we talking about like what they're doing performance-wise or that they physically cannot get an erection, whatever?
All of the above. All of the above. So my generation doesn't do that.
Well, normally women will stop and go, is everything okay? Like, because we as women will take it upon ourselves that we're not doing, that we're not pleasing, that we're not desirable, that we, you know, because that's what we do. So the first place we go, at least me as a woman in my generation and my friends, we go to the headspace of, am I enough?
Yeah.
Am I okay? You see, men don't know that we ask that same question, especially in the bedroom. Am I enough? Okay. And I think that women, you know, again, I love the question, you know, can we have this equality conversation without it meaning equivalence, right? Equivalency, that I am, equal to you in the bedroom, that we have to think the same, move the same, breathe the same, that we have to desire the same, we have to act it out the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the whole thing has just gotten our makeup, the way that God created us, designed us. If you believe in a big bang, no pun intended, then it's like, okay, fair enough. But the dust is settling and going, nope, this is not how we were put together. This is not how the big bang put us all together. And so, and God for sure is like, yep, I told y'all it wasn't good for man to be alone.
Yeah.
And Paul was like, y'all need to be getting it on as often as possible. And when I talk like that, people in the church are like, and I'm like, don't, just stop it, because you guys have got more Adam and Eve subscriptions than people of the world, and you know it. Or you're sitting online looking at little kids at night. So stop it. Can we just get honest about, and I'm about to read this to you too. Let's just get honest about this conversation, because it's like no one's talking about it. Honestly, Paul says it right there, especially women who are like, well, you know, we use sex to lure men into relationships. And you know, we do. I've done it in my youth because that's how I was programmed as a kid, that was my only worth. Okay. For a number of reasons, I went down that road. Now I'm older and wiser, and that's not, you know, sure, you can seduce. And I think we've lost the art of seducing our mates. Mm-hmm. We just have. There's something really powerful about seducing your wife or your husband or mm-hmm. your significant other. Seduction, the power of seduction. The church has made it this, you know, you're a Jezebel.
Oh, gosh. And it's like, you're a succubus. You're a sex demon.
Some men wish you would be a succubus.
I mean, like, again, if you can't say men, say ouch.
Right?
Yeah.
And if someone is listening to this podcast on an aircraft like they did last time, to spit their cocktail across first class.
Or they are. So,
yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you mm-hmm. that we want it all these different ways, okay? Except for we don't want to give it to men in the way that they really want to have it. And you know what it's left us with? A generation of impotent, mm-hmm. drug-dependent, porn dependent. I mean, whatever drug centers get, you know, turned on in the brain, which you know more about than me. Listen to this. Okay, this is from Article 2. Our efforts to make sex less about the primal brain and instead more politically correct are forcing fiery sex onto, there's that fire word again. Fiery sex.
Who was that?
That was my country girl. Fire. Fire. Oh, Lord Jesus, there's a fire.
Oh, my God.
Sweet brown. I went to get me a cold pop, Jesus. Okay, so fiery sex onto a darker playground.
Who's on the dark playground?
Okay.
Well, the succubuses and the Jezebels having good sex.
Increasingly, men and women are seeking outlets for their primal sexual energy, such as extramarital affairs and overuse of pornography, that can be damaging to their intimate relationships. Sex robots will soon be offering non-critical. Oh, that word.
You triggered.
Just said it. Critical, right? Because how do you express to your partner
mm-hmm. what you need, what or you what need, you want?
What you want without.
And my generation doesn't do it. I'm telling you, they will not. Like, they don't know how to have the conversation. People my age do not know how to have the conversation. They just,
so what
they
do you,
won't.
I mean,
you just lie there and take it.
Oh, wow.
Which is awful.
And be unsatisfied.
Or you, or you're, you know, all of a sudden everyone's, you know, pansexual and everyone's
right.
in open relationships and,
yeah.
you know, looking for all this satisfaction.
Yes.
Outside of their partner.
The natural
exactly.
relationship.
When in reality, if you would just talk to your partner.
Yeah.
And you would just, or not, just sit down, shut up and do something.
Yeah.
Other than talk. Things would be a lot different.
Maybe if you just have more sex
yeah.
instead of thinking and talking about everything.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you got on to me a couple months ago. There was a very well-known black commentator on Twitter who got blasted because he was like, you know, he's a liberal and he's he was like, well, you know, you need to be checking in with her and asking. And he was talking about otherwise you're kind of a rape culturist and you need to be, you okay? We good? Is it all right? You feel it? We good? And I'm like, if you got to ask somebody if you feeling it.
They probably aren't.
Exactly. Like, okay, that says way more about you than it does the woman. And you were like, yeah, but mom, I mean, sure. When you're first getting to know someone, then you should be like, is everything okay? Like, are you? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. What happened to the social cues of unless your face as a dude, unless you're on top of her and your face is buried in the pillow so you can't see her face and what she's, if she's wincing, if she has a frown, if she looks afraid. I mean, my God, our facial expressions tell the entire story, especially as women. So it's like, unless you're faking it, unless you're acting through the whole thing, and a lot of women do, mm-hmm. and so do men, by the way. So, but it's like, why do, I mean, verbally, my God, that would kill the entire thing for me if someone's yeah. constantly like, you all right? We good? You feel raped? Are we okay? Do you feel safe? Do you like this? Can you feel me? I'd be like, I gotta go. Like, okay. and we're talking, some of our Christian listeners who know us as a Christian family are probably like, oh my God, I cannot believe. Listen, we are under no grand illusions that this world is having sex. Okay, so it's important to have these conversations. And we're also, I personally still feel as though sex was created for and best within the confines and the protection and the love and the structure and the order of matrimony, mm-hmm. of holy matrimony. I just am.
Well, there's a lot of young couples too. There's a lot. I see weddings every single day on my Facebook and Instagram. There's a lot of young Christian couples.
Bitter party of one.
There's a lot of newly married Christian couples who no one was having the conversation with them. And all of a sudden they're like, you know, they've been promised this amazing sex life yeah. because they were faithful to God. And they're sitting there like, this is what it's supposed
Girl,
to be
Girl, I
like.
Had a friend end up with a permanent STD on mm-hmm. her wedding night.
And that's not to
and
say
waited,
to just get it on.
Waited. Yeah. Waited because she was like, God's going to bless us.
Well,
and ended up in the hospital with a major outbreak of something. That's, I mean, can you imagine? Another girlfriend of mine, two of them actually, did it. We're going to honor the Lord. Okay. Gets married. Husband has sex with her on her wedding night. 2 years go by. He's not interested.
Yeah.
That,
that first
her
month,
up for years.
After
I
that
mean,
first month, that's an annulment. That's
I'm just
a,
saying,
like,
I'd
if
be like,
it,
you
a
gotta
month,
go.
Yeah, if a month goes by, it's like, annulment, please.
Yeah, I'm Catholic for a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go. I'll go get baptized for that.
Like, all right. I'm like, that is not going to fly. Uh-uh. But so, yes, people can, you know, they hide behind the cloak. I got to, okay. So, full disclosure, one of my favorite scenes in a movie ever, because to your point, there are times in the world when it is not possible, like with slaves, they couldn't get married. Mm-hmm. They jumped the broom as a sign of an outward expression of we're committed. This is us. You're mine.
Yeah.
I'm yours. We're a family unit. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it in spite of what the white man says. And we're in fear of our lives. But we believe in this and we want to make a declaration that we belong to each other. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And we forget about stuff like that whenever we see all this generational stuff going on within the Black community as well. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, you can't just fault they're just fatherless and spreading seed. And I'm like, well, we kind of perpetuated that as soon as they landed in this country. So let's just get honest about that.
Can't say amen, say
ouch. I'm saying. And so in this movie, Cold Mountain, it's during the Civil War. No one's getting married. Pastors are at war. I mean, everybody's church is shut down. Okay. And Jude Law, Nicole Kidman, of course, she's freaking amazing at anything. And he makes his way back to her. And there's no one around to marry them. But she's a respectable woman. He wants to honor her and respect her. Her father's dead. No one's there except for Renee Zellweger. And she's like, there's this scene where he fights through death, hell, and destruction to get back to this woman. And he makes it to her. And they go into like their little place up in the woods one night. And she says, you know, there's like this folklore that if you say, you know, I marry you, I marry you, I marry you three times, then we're married. Like we're together. And that's what they said to each other three times. And then they consummated their vow right there. They didn't have a priest. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have, you know, and they loved each other. He subsequently, you know, kicks the bucket like a scene later.
Spoiler alert.
And then she has his child and it carries on. It's just beautiful. Like there's nothing, you know, oh, it's the devil, you know, and they're going to hell because it was adultery or it was fornication.
They
you
didn't
know?
Take a blood test and sign
right,
a piece of paper.
Right. There wasn't a $20 filing fee. Like everyone's on the battlefield of the Civil War.
They charge you $20 to get.
Or more. Oh, yeah.
What?
I mean, it's an industry. Yes.
Oh,
it is a
goodness.
Municipal industry. Okay.
No.
And so I've never forgotten that scene in that movie. Now, we're not in wartime, and we do have the ability to actually, you know, legally and technically get ourselves married. Mm-hmm. But I think if more people would get back to
the romance
and the heart of it. Because,
the intimacy of it. Right. That's the point of it. And, right. you know, for me, in what I concluded from the article is that you're right. You can't have it both ways. And, you know, I think that at the start of something new, it's like you have the conversation before you even have sex. And it doesn't have to be this, well, what do you like and what do you like? But right. what are your safe words? What's your boundaries? It can be something very sexy. It can be something.
You can flirt your way through that conversation.
It's seduction.
Right.
You're seducing that person. And it gets you excited for that. But it, so by the time you get there, it doesn't have to be, is this okay?
Can I
kiss you now? Do you feel it? Am I raping you? Are you uncomfortable? It doesn't have to be that. It's the art of seduction, which we have completely lost. One, because we either just we're impatient and don't do it. Or two, as Christians, we're afraid of it.
Yeah. We're so puritanical that we have, you know, listen, boy, I mean, read Song of Solomon. If you want to know about seduction, and God was very clear about don't ignite love before it's time. And that's what the person says in Song of Solomon. Don't get me all excited before we can actually be together, okay, where we can be committed and in covenant together, where I am yours and you are mine, my beloved. That's what it says. That's where we get that scripture from. My beloved is mine and I am his. I mean, that is... that's about as intimate as you can become, okay? I want to read through some of these. I asked on Twitter, ladies, anytime I specify...
emphasis on ladies,
emphasis on ladies, I can always count on the opposite sex answering. Ladies, would you give up your battery-operated pleasure devices for an assertive sexual man? Studies indicate you're tired of passive men. I'd say over 192 people responded. And out of 192 people, I'd say about 172 of them were men. Mm-hmm. So the ladies are like, really? What the hell? All right. So here you go. Why are men commenting on this post when Monica clearly said, ladies, no one wants a weak man, and a good man beats batteries every time. You got this pulled up?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I'm just reading. I understand why men are commenting, because all I've seen are basically advertisements from the men.
Oh, okay.
Like, Woody Finecraft, I'm not pretty, but I can do a push-up with my tongue.
Oh, boy.
If that's not an advertisement, I don't know what is.
An assertive alpha male, isn't intimidated by toys. Grab your toys, watch a movie, get started. I'll be there in a minute after I finish my beer, America. That's Miguel. These are men responding.
Pure Texan. Ladies, move to the South if you seek an assertive man. The weather is better here anyway, and you can bring your toys because we like to play with the girls. Signed, your Southern gentleman.
Okay. Miss Laura says, did you know that testosterone in men is dropping with every generation? Hurry, get your assertive man before time runs out. Claudia says, not surprised to hear this. My bet is in the amount of soy people are consuming. Sometimes since they are little, they get started on soy milk. Okay, what else you got?
I got Bluebell saying, I like manly men. No skinny jeans, makeup, nail polish, man bun, or whining allowed.
Okay, Lady Kate says, yes, unless he wants to use them with me. Talking about toys. Do you want toys or do you want a man?
Okay. Cassie Isaac, IDK, yes and no, LOL. I'll probably take the man, but keep my toy just in case he gets on my nerves.
Okay, I'm trying to find another woman.
Exactly.
Okay. Stacy
J. Kitchens, okay. Yes, but why can't you have both? Por que no los dos?
You can. Just me says assertive man every time. It's that toxic masculinity the left is always talking about, and I'll take that any day, all day. Now, listen, I want you to think about what she just said. Think about how culturally we swing from one side of the pendulum over to the other.
We can never find
balance. So we've demasculated men, and now all of a sudden we're okay with, I'll take a toxic man as long as you show up with the testosterone. I'll take it. And I'm saying, no, stop it. You did your thesis, basically, your final paper as a senior at USC on the left coast, I might add, which was brilliant because you really brought a lot of really good points to that. You're a capstone project. Mm-hmm. And you talked about hyper masculinity as opposed to toxic. And I think we're getting ready to see that cultural shift because you just heard that guy. Bring your vibrators, bring your batteries. Mm-hmm. I'll bring my beer. I'll be there as soon as the game's over. Yeah. I mean, that's about as hyper masculine as you can get. I'll be there once I finish with what I'm doing and once I get out of my recliner. Well. And that's their now I'm telling you, that's the men's response to we've had enough of this crap. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just done. I can't even, you know, what were you talking about before we got on the air? You know, women are like, well, they go to their counselors is what this article is saying in droves. You know, he just doesn't turn me on. And I'm like, well, and he's just not, you know, he just acts like he just doesn't have any testosterone. I'm like, no, because they're in his testicles, which are probably in your purse.
Well, fair.
You just
and you
can't.
Know she can't find them because her purse is too damn big.
So exactly.
They're just lost.
And we just said that on the air last Sunday. It's like, don't put your firearms in your purse.
Because you're not
you can't
good
find
it
those
out.
Either. And you know you can't find your husband's testicles in your purse, so stop it. So the bottom line on avoiding the end of good sex, how do you avoid not having good sex?
You've got to understand who you are as men and women, who what your primal instincts are, and that they're not to be demonized.
Right.
Sex is not dirty. Seduction is not evil. Men being assertive in the bedroom isn't toxic masculinity. And just have the conversation before you get there. Seduce your partner.
I think that's why 50 Shades of Grey was such a big hit.
Are you kidding me? That woman is a multi-millionaire. And if you've ever read that book, they're awful.
I haven't read it. I've seen the movies.
I made it through like a chapter. It is the worst writing.
And you are an avid reader.
It is the worst writing you've ever seen in your entire life. But the best sex scenes, like, and it's that mind thing where it's like the man who's taking control and he's like the assertive one. And he's the Tarzan.
He's the Tarzan. I want to wrap this up on something. No pun intended. Oh, the jokes just keep coming so quick. Okay, but I want to touch on that because when that movie first emerged, you were talking about how the BDSM community was really up in arms about that.
Yes,
because with them for him in the book. For Christian Grey, he was abusive. Like, there's no way around that. Like, it was abuse. Okay.
Yeah.
The movie depicts a little bit of a different picture, but there is a scene in one of the movies where she looks at him and she's really upset. And she says, this wasn't about trust and connection tonight. You were taking stuff out on me.
You were punishing me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people mistake the whole BDSM world for all, and some of it is actually, but
it's always, always, always about respect
and trust.
Consent and trust.
Consent and trust.
Always.
And the thing that I think women are missing is exactly what the picture on this article depicts. And I've said it for years. Look, you know what? I have long hair.
No, I don't.
And if you have a cave and you have a baton, I'm down. Like, I mean that, you know, not like clearly to have my butt beat, but I'm just kidding.
Moving on.
No, I'm talking about.
I'm triggered. I don't feel safe.
I don't feel safe. Blue, Concord blue. So, but I'm saying, like, culturally speaking and metaphorically speaking, okay,
yes.
I want the man to be like if I'm talking, for instance, if I'm talking too much, there's a way to shut me down. There's a way to get me to be quiet.
Women have an off switch, men.
We do. We have lots of them all over our bodies. And so if you want her to shut up, there's a way to actually make that happen without having to, you know, lose your momentum that might have taken you 30 minutes to get to the point where you can actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
But so we want to empower you as couples.
Yes.
Okay. To take your power back, take your romance back, get back to the entire reason that you were attracted to the person to begin with, and they may be 50 pounds overweight. So what?
Have more sex. They'll lose the weight.
Very good. And hey, menopausal hormonal women, I'm not giving you a break. I'm not going to give you a pass on
this.
There
are drugs for that.
I'm not. There are very healthy remedies for mm-hmm. that you can, vaginal inserts. I mean, things that.
And men too.
Exactly.
Stop hiding behind things. Stop being ashamed. Stop being embarrassed.
Right.
You have a doctor for a reason.
Right.
Go talk to them.
Correct.
If you want to understand your body better,
yes.
Talk to them.
Correct. And do it for the sake of your mental, spiritual, emotional, sexual health, all of those things work in unison. And I, you know, I love the couples that are like 90 years old and the dude is still like grabbing her ass in the kitchen. I'm like, I love that. That is, she's like, Henry, you know,
you're always touching. She's like, he's always after my body. And he's like, well, she's so stingy with her body. She's like, I'm 80 years old. And he's like, I don't care.
Right. Exactly. So women, if you don't want your, listen, you don't use it. You literally
lose it.
Your vagina will atrophy. That is an actual thing, okay? So if you don't want that to happen, and if you're not an older woman and you are in your 30s and you're going to head for perimenopause one day, you need to get educated on your body and start taking the necessary things to help your body stay lubricated, youthful,
limber.
That are limber. Exactly. Yoga is a beautiful thing for people sometimes.
Do it
Pilates.
Together. Hot yoga.
Right. Ooh, hot yoga. All right, on that note, we're out of here.
Yes, we are.
So we'll be back next week. I'm Ernest. Oh, no, I'm not.
No,
I'm
you're Frank.
Frank.
I'm Ernest. And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. We love you. Have more sex. Less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more pride, a little less fun, a little less magnificent.